Final hour on a Monday. We are joined by TJ Lang. Thomas John Lang is in the studio wearing a Lions t-shirt.
Oh, wow. What full name?
That's right.
You don't know me well enough to call me that.
Wow.
Going full name. James.
Uh-huh.
It's good to see you. What's James' middle name?
You don't know me like that.
Jonathan. You're just a John. Are you Jonathan?
No, I am a Jonathan.
You're a Jonathan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. What's up, guys?
Hey, what's going on?
I don't know. Maybe we just go by initials. I could be JW.
Walter? William?
William's a good guess.
We'll just let you keep guessing. That's
great. Wilbur?
Wilbur.
I'm running out of W names here. There's an obvious one I'm probably missing, huh?
Ward.
Ward? Oh, I would have never guessed.
No, yes,
that's why
I
would have never
guessed.
We would have never
guessed
that one.
And I can go by J.A.
Would you like to fill in what the A stands for?
Alan. Anthony.
Anthony. There you go.
Okay, yay.
Good Italian middle name. There we go. James Anthony. All right, now that we got the pleasantries out of the way, let's talk Lions football. We got calls to get to, but just your reaction initially to that game.
Same as you guys. I mean, it stunk. You know, offense was just out of sorts again. And way too, I mean, you know, I asked coach after the game, just 55 pass attempts. I mean, that doesn't seem like the Lions' recipe to win. And I don't know if he said it was more game plan. You know, I think they wanted to go into the game and, you know, take their completions and open up the run game through the pass game, which a lot of people, you know, might have philosophical differences on that. I always believe the run game is going to open up more explosions in the pass game. But yeah, just didn't seem like the Lions style that we've been used to, or that we saw, you know, in the overtime game against the Rams, just dominating and establishing the line of scrimmage and being physical. I'm telling you, 55 pass blocks in a game is not fun for the offensive line. It's just not. And during the game, it looked like there was some interior pressure at times. John, I don't know, you watched probably the game, and Goff just never really looked comfortable. And I got to be honest with you, I'm not saying this is, you know, some headline news, but I think Jared Goff misses Josh Reynolds a little bit. I think that just the experience that he had with Josh Reynolds and the years of experience that he had and the reps that he had built up with a receiver like that and being able to just hit his back foot and get the ball out of his hands and knowing where the guy's going to be. I'm not saying that he doesn't trust his receivers now, but it just takes time, right? It's going to take a lot more reps for these guys to start getting on the same page and to fully trust each other. So the passing game just looked out of sorts. I thought Tampa played really good. They played hard. They were missing some of their best players. And by the end of it, you know, Vita Vea wasn't even out there. But they played tough, and they confused the passing attack a little bit. And it's a shame because I really did feel the defense played really good football. Outside of the one busted coverage that led to that long touchdown to Chris Godwin, I thought the defense took a step and showed that they can be dominant. So it's really a shame that I think the offense just couldn't figure it out. It feels like a bit of a wasted performance, especially from guys like Hutchinson and Brian Branch getting an interception.
Defense played well.
Yeah, you can't even really feel happy about that performance unless you get the win. So just kind of a bummer overall.
And this is something I've been talking about that you just hit on. The strength of this offensive line is being able to run block. Kevin Zeitler is a really good player in both facets, but I think where he excels is in run blocking. Same with Glasgow, same with all of these guys. Now you start talking about Penei Sewell, I think he does it all well. But when you're talking about pressure coming up the middle, the way that you solve that is the same way that you won the game against the Rams. It's smash mouth football. And then it makes pass protection so much easier the further into the game that you get. First of all, you're wearing on that defensive front, and you're able to sell the run, even on a pass play. If it's a five-step drop, there are still many times where I'm selling the run and run blocking and then converting to pass block because it makes it so much easier because that threat is always there that you're going to run. And they're trying to figure out how to solve that. And then I thought Ben Johnson really missed the boat when – I don't know if he didn't recognize that Vita Vea was out or because they were already playing without Kalijah Kancey.
Right.
Then Vita Vea goes out. Their top two defenders up front are not in the game. I just didn't understand why they didn't just flip the switch and say, you know what? enough is enough. We're just going to mash you.
Yeah, and it looked like the game plan was try to get the ball outside in the run game, right? A lot of outside stretches and zones and pulls.
I'm not going to run right at Vita Vea.
Right. But then when he goes out of the game, we were wondering, you know, up in the booth, maybe you start running in between the tackles a little bit. You know what? And I think that maybe just the proper adjustments weren't made. And in the passing game as well. You know, it looked like Tampa was just kind of dropping back and clogging the middle of the field. And their linebackers were dropping 10 yards, 12 yards deep and taking away those intermediate routes that are a staple of this offense. And you just couldn't find a way to get maybe some of the shorter crossing routes in there, right? Get Jamison Williams the ball on the move, you know, maybe at 2 yards, and then he maybe breaks an explosion. It just seemed to have to kind of check the ball down a bunch. And when you're checking it down that late, you really don't have a chance. You know what I mean? Those linebackers and safety, they recognize it. They're coming up. They're making contact as soon as the ball is caught. If you get the ball out of your hands a little bit quicker, now you're going to give your guys a chance to break a tackle and make a move and get some yards. And John, back to your point, you can't just start running the ball, I think, in the red zone either, right? It seemed like yesterday it's let's pass, and then we get to the red zone and okay, now we gotta run the ball. It doesn't work like that, right? The defense, they're not dummies, right? You gotta start loosening them up way before that, early in the drive. You gotta throw some runs in, especially if you're this offense, which is your identity. So it was just and just other mistakes, right? The end of half. Yep. I mean, I know Coach was killing himself about that, you know, and that's just a mental error that is just kind of shocking, right? Because that play shouldn't even be an option. And there needs to be, I hope there was somebody else in his headset saying, Coach, like, I think our code word used to be thunder, right? At the end of half, where field goal team, we don't got timeouts, we get tackled in bounds, we got to go. Yeah. There's got to be somebody in his headset telling him, Coach, this is second down, we do not have time, this is not even an option.
Right? Yeah, he used the word hurricane, yeah, I think that's what they're calling.
Hurricane
is off.
Okay, there's no chance for hurricane, right? Yeah. If it's third down, okay, Coach, we got third, it's second down, we still got to, we're going to have to get to the line, we're going to have to spike it. That whole operation just was just a complete meltdown, I think, in that moment. And that was something uncharacteristic of what we've seen, at least over the past 20, 25 games with this team. Some issues we saw yesterday, that looked more like what we saw, you know, a couple years ago. Now, I'm not freaking out. I think they're going to get it fixed out. And look, we all trust Ben Johnson. I think we still trust Jared Goff. But bottom line is, man, they got a lot of work to do.
Campbell said it's all on him.
I don't believe that. I mean, look, he was bummed, and did you take points off the board? You absolutely did.
Right, but the argument is, like, if you had three, you only needed three at the end. I get why he says it's all on him, but, like, I think that's more covering for
you still had okay, Johnson. Still had, I mean, they were 1-for-7. I mean, if you take that out, you're still 1-for-6.
Right. I mean,
in the red zone, right?
4 fourth-quarter possessions. Yeah. With an offense that's supposed to be great, like, that's a Goff issue, that's a Ben Johnson issue, that's not first half Dan Campbell. He said that they had to overcome it. When he came out of halftime, he said, we got to overcome it. They didn't overcome it. That's, to me, the story more than his blunder at the half.
Yeah, they started to. I think they started with a field goal their first drive. And
that's more of the same.
The next drive, I think they got the touchdown. So you get 10 points on your first two possessions. But you're right. After that, it just the offense just couldn't find a way to punch it in. And, you know, even at the end of the game, you get down to the red zone and I'm looking and, you know, I know he just got called up from practice squad, but Tim Patrick's a big dude, like 6'5". I mean, you would think, okay, red zone threat. He wasn't even in the game the last drive. And I think you started with the ball at the 40-yard line. You started with great field position when you got the ball back with 35 seconds, whatever it was on that last drive. I didn't even see Tim Patrick out there. So I'm like, okay, I get it. I'm not going to kill him for that. I mean, he just got called up. I know there's probably not a ton of reps that he's taken with Jared Goff, but at least a red zone target, right? A 50-50 ball, get the ball up in the air. You know you need a touchdown. Why not take a couple shots? And he's really your only receiver with size right now on the roster.
Did they throw to the end zone at all in the fourth quarter?
I don't think so.
Doesn't that feel like unfathomable?
Yeah, it does. And it was just a game of adjustments, and I didn't think they made the necessary ones. I thought Tampa Bay's defense was, especially their secondary, were jumping routes. I thought Jared Goff was just kind of staring guys down at times. And there was a couple, I mean, I know he had the two interceptions, but first one, look, Jamison got knocked down. Second one, Never really saw a good replay. Maybe his arm got hit, but either way, that looked like a really bad decision.
Yeah.
And there were probably a couple other ones that guys were jumping routes that Amon-Ra knocked away another one like he did last week against the Rams. But I didn't see, you know, you're sitting there saying, okay, if they're jumping routes, what's the, you know, obvious adjustment? Maybe a double move once in a while, right? Yeah. And we just didn't, I didn't see the necessary adjustments yesterday.
We got a bunch of calls we'll mix in. TJ's thoughts, 248-539-9797. Lions lose. It's 97.1.
Hey, when I needed a new furnace and AC, I called the guys at Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. They've got all the best equipment and prices, but I think the best difference, the biggest difference, is their customer service. When you call, it's somebody you actually want to talk to, and then they're going to jump all over it. They also have a 5-year warranty, so I know I'm covered. Call Mastercraft for your heat, AC, plumbing, and electrical. They even offer generators and whole house hookups. Tell them John Jansen sent you for up to $500 off fast installation. They offer same-day service. They offer everything you want, so you can find more information on the web at mastercraftheating.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
That's so bad.
Were you saying mute my mic?
Wait.
Oh, no. There's a few other words I'm sure you wanted to use at the moment.
Fudge. Yeah.
Like, this is the NFL. That can't happen. And,
no.
and Campbell knows it can't happen. He owned it at the half. He owned it postgame. He owned it with you in the postgame.
Yeah. Like, he threw me off, man. He was... Because look, I mean, and I love the accountability,
yeah,
right? Don't get me wrong. I mean, everybody, I think most of the guys in the locker room yesterday saying, you know, hey, I got to do better. I got to do this. I got to do better. The coach just, I asked him, you know, hey, you guys had a chance. You knew it wouldn't be easy. And, you know, just what was the overall kind of message after the game? He's, you know, coach screwed it up. Coach lost him one. I was like, maybe a little aggressive. Yeah. But
there's still two more quarters. You had chances.
Right. You still had a lot more chances than that. But yeah, it was just, you know, some blunders from guys you normally wouldn't expect them from. Right?
TJ, do we know if Sam LaPorta is still on the team? Can you confirm?
He is. I mean, I saw him yesterday, but yeah, it's...
I mean, they got to find a way to get him the ball.
I'm no tight end, you know, genius or guru by any means, but it seems like, especially when you get down in the red zone, right? Yeah, I mean, he's getting a lot of one-on-one coverage with linebackers and safeties, and
yep.
That kind of seemed like where he did a lot of the dirty work last year, you know, being able to go beat guys one-on-one and get those 50-50 balls back of the end zone or, you know, even short of the end zone and lowering his shoulder getting in. Yeah, I think that you could obviously tell this week the focal point was getting Amon-Ra back involved. Wouldn't be surprised if this week they find a way to, you know, start force-feeding the ball to LaPorta a little bit because he's – Captain Obvious, your team's better when he's, you know,
yeah,
a big target and making plays for you.
But it just feels like this offense hasn't found its rhythm or stride because in week one, hey, J-Mo goes off for 121 yards, which is great. And we expect him to have a breakout year. But Amon-Ra, St. Brown, Sam LaPorta, they don't get their hands on the ball very much. There's not even many targets. And then this week, if you're going to force feed it to Amon-Ra, St. Brown, I get it. He's a playmaker. You still find a way. But why not have a full complement of, you know, if we could force the ball deep to J-Mo and we can get the ball to Amon-Ra St. Brown, eventually teams are going to cover those up. So it's got to mean that either Gibbs in the passing game or LaPorta in the passing game, they can't cover everybody.
You would think, right? Well, that was the frustrating part yesterday.
Yeah,
like
we just said off air.
How are they covering all three of these guys, right?
We just said off air.
It's still putting pressure on the quarterback.
Right.
It's like Tampa had 12 or 13 defenders. You can't call the game in a way where it makes it feel like the other team has an extra defender or two. Like you have to be able to find weaknesses in the defense. TJ, do you feel like on any level the league is figuring out Ben Johnson?
I think that's probably an overreaction. But, you know, we haven't really seen back-to-back games where, at least in a long time, where it's like, man, we still can't figure this out, right? It's normally, hey, 1 week, okay, you know, we didn't play our best. And then the next week you see the complete opposite, right? So I wouldn't say that teams have figured them out, but Tampa figured something out yesterday. And, you know, you're going to have to adjust. I think that the Rams did a lot of good things against our offense that Tampa probably copied and said, you know what? Hey, this coverage seems to work. Let's drop our linebackers a little bit deeper because they tend to like some of those intermediate routes, you know, 15, 20 yards down the field. Not a big crossing route team, at least, you know, within the first 5 or 10 yards. So, you know, we'll just back the guys up a little bit. And it seemed to work yesterday. And it seemed like the Lions just couldn't find any solutions to it. So that's going to be the challenge this week is I haven't watched Arizona's defense yet, but guarantee you they're going to do a lot of the same things that the Rams did. They're going to do a lot of the same things that Tampa Bay did yesterday.
How much of it is the intangibles where, okay, last year the Lions weren't going to be sneaking up on anybody. At the beginning of the year, they kind of were. And now you make a trip to the NFC Championship game. Everybody's talking about you as a Super Bowl contender. Baker Mayfield last week said, this is a measuring stick for us. You're going to get the best that everybody has to offer because they know if they don't bring it, they're going to get beat by the Detroit Lions. You've been about a part of a team where you were the marked. You were the ones that they were going after. Do you think the Lions are matching that intensity?
Yeah, I would say yes. I mean, they still – look, the bottom line is they're really close to being 2-0 and – they're really close to being 0-2,
right?
But that's NFL football. I mean, the games are decided, especially when you're a team like this. And look, you played two good teams, right? Tampa Bay, I thought, was a good team. You got them at home, which I think makes it sting a little bit more. But, yeah, I haven't seen anything where it's like, oh, my goodness, like they're not prepared. They're not ready to defend their title. But you're right, man. Anytime you put some hardware up on your mantle, right, last year with the NFC North and going to the NFC title game, teams are going to take notice of that. And I do think you've gotten – some really good punches thrown at you from the Rams and certainly yesterday from Tampa, their defense specifically. So, but I haven't felt that, you know, oh, they're just expecting to walk around and just storm over everybody. This is just a game about details. And especially in this offense, it's about details. So, you know, there's a couple plays yesterday where you're looking and you're like, okay, that couldn't have been the right route because there's two guys in the same area. You know what I mean? That's never supposed to happen. So, probably just going to continue to clean up some of the details. And I think Ben Johnson even hinted at it last week. And I think some of the same issues popped up again yesterday was just the small details, right? If we're supposed to be at 4 yards, we've got to be at 4 yards. We can't be at 2. We can't be at 7. It throws everything off. You know, if our split's supposed to be at the top of the numbers, we can't be at the bottom of the numbers, right? It's just going to throw the rhythm. It's going to throw the timing of everything off. So I think they just got to get back to the small things, right? Just the details, aligning, make sure you're aligning in the right spot and make sure your depth is where it's supposed to be. Because this offense is very timing based, especially when it comes to the passing game. Mm-hmm.
TJ, I'm a reformed Goff hater, so I have to be careful with my words today because otherwise it's a full on relapse. And then, you know, anyway, your assessment of Goff, because when I watched two interceptions, could have been three, could have been four, end of game. You have one timeout. It's your life, your life jacket, your lifeboat in these choppy seas. It's going to be hard to win with 30 seconds and one timeout, but at least you have the timeout.
Yeah.
And the first play, he checks it down and burns it for 8 yards.
Yeah.
The very next play, another check down, burns clock because they have to waste the down and spike the ball. Like, it just didn't feel like high IQ quarterbacking from Jared Goff.
Certainly didn't look like his best game. I mean, it's some questionable decisions. I think even on the second interception. And like I said, I didn't see a replay. It seemed like his arm might have got hit, but even you're looking and you're like,
what was the decision?
I don't know where that was going anyways.
Yeah, what was the best case there?
Yeah, it looked like he was trying to force some things. And I think that you're right. I think didn't seem like he improvised very well yesterday, right? We've seen other times where he's buying time out of the pocket, and it did happen a couple times. You throw 55 passes, you're going to do it a little bit, but it seemed like he played right into what the defense was trying to make him do, right? The defense is, hey, let's force him to check it down, and he takes the bait and checks it down, and the defense is over there high-fiving and celebrating and just, yeah, okay, we got him, you know what I mean? So, I'm not going to put it all on him, but just coming out of that game and watching the game, I'm sure he probably already took accountability yesterday and probably will continue to do that throughout the week. I think he knows he's got to play a lot better for this offense to have a chance.
We have a ton of calls. Why don't we start mixing some of those in?
Yeah.
Let's start with Steven in Detroit. Steven, you're on 97.1.
Good morning, Steven.
Good morning.
What's up?
Hey. Yeah, I just had a different view of it. I mean, 55 passes is all right. They do have the number one offensive line. I just thought he didn't spread that ball around enough. Last year, that was one of the things that was great about him. He got all the receivers.
Oh, I think we're losing.
I think we might have lost you.
Hello?
You're still there. You're good.
Yes. Personally, I would have dropped it to Jamo at least 6 times through that game on a deep pass. It would have opened up the whole field for him.
Well, they had the one big play to Jamo. It was Goff's best throw of the day. Jamo did catch 5 balls for 80 yards. He was targeted 11 times. I don't think it was a lack of trying to get Jamo the football.
They didn't target him deep enough. Deep. I'm talking about stretch the defense out deep.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, and I was watching after Steven.
Was bracketed by at least 3 guys constantly.
Yeah, I was kind of keeping an eye on how they were defending Jamo, and it looked like the corner started playing, 10, 12 yards off, and we're basically saying, we're not going to let you run by us. And I think that started seeing some of those more quick out routes to Jamison down the side. But another part of that is, look, you got to get the run game going, right? Because that's going to open up the play action pass. Those are the plays where you hit Jamo deep down the field. When you're gashed in the defense in the run game, and now they have to start adjusting, bringing safeties up and playing a little bit more aggressive at the line of scrimmage, that's when you're going to get the big shots down the field of Jameson Williams. So that was, I think, what John and I were upset about, that you didn't establish the run game early enough to really make Tampa get out of their comfort zone. They were just able to kind of hang back because they knew, okay, I guess they're just going to keep throwing the ball, right? And probably played it right into Tampa's hands, what they wanted to force lines to do.
For the record, I'm with both you guys. I know I didn't play offensive line in the NFL. I also wanted them to run the ball more. I didn't like the offensive line pass setting 55 times in a 1-score game. We'll get more phone calls, more TJ's thoughts. We haven't even brought up Hutchinson with TJ. Maybe some positivity a little bit, just a sliver of it. Sure. We can mix that in as well. It's 97.1. Jared Goff talking about Dan Campbell, Jim Costa, John Jansen, TJ Lang in for the 9 o'clock hour on a Monday. Couple sequences. We're still talking about them. Second to last drive for the Lions. I really thought they were going to win the game. And John, you made this point on that drive, especially after the 4th-and-1 that they did pick up. Gibbs picks up. I go, they're winning this game.
I thought Gibbs was going to score on that play.
And instead, they throw a swing pass and lose 4 yards. Mm-hmm. They're not working north and south. They're working east and west. And then on 3rd and long, they throw another swing, another screen in that play. They don't get the block from Frank Ragnow. Now, again, this east and west, are you going to try to work the middle? Are you going to try to run? Are you going to try to put the ball in the end zone?
Yeah.
That's killer.
Yeah. I mean, and the issue is on 3rd and 9 from the 12, that little screen to Gibbs, if Frank just looks up or inside, that instead of talking about it being a 1 yard run or 1 yard completion, you're looking at a possible touchdown, and then we're talking about a completely different conversation. Yeah, there's still a lot of things they got to fix, but we're talking about possibly a Lions win.
The other sequence is, to me, the very first red zone possession. They get it down inside the 3. It's 3rd and 3. Why not run it? Because it sets up 2 runs. It's your identity, right? You just won the last game with the identity. Instead, it's a pass on 3rd and 3 where Sam Laporta is in blocking. I can't get my head around why that's the decision to A, pass, and why Laporta is not at least running a route into the end zone. To me, red zone execution was the biggest reason they lost this game. I know there's a lot of things people have been complaining about, and we can keep taking phone calls. 248-539-9797. Stan in Canton, you're on 97.1.
Hey, gentlemen. I think what this game shows is that the Lions need, especially Dan Campbell, need to have a paradigm shift. Dan Campbell, it's okay to go for it on fourth down, but when you get across the 50-yard line and you get to the 44-yard line or anywhere inside there, Jake Bates needs to be the option when you can't move the ball. New York lost to Washington because Washington kicked 7 field goals. DeMeco Ryans last night gave his kicker an opportunity to kick 3 50-yard field goals. Dan Campbell hadn't learned that from the NFC Championship. Kick the field goals, take the points. If you do that the other 6 times, we win 25-20. If you do it 5 of those times, we win 22-20. He hasn't learned yet.
So you got a weapon. Which times did you want him to kick the field goal versus
the ball?
Huh?
They punted the ball from like the 43-yard line. Put Jake Bates out there and let him kick a field goal.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. I think it was the third to last drive. I think there was about 4 minutes left. And you had the ball at the 41. It would have been a 58-yard field goal. You're down 4 points. In that situation, I kind of understood why Dan Campbell wanted to do it. Your defense was playing good. And look, if Jake Bates misses that field goal, you're giving Tampa Bay the ball right at midfield. Right, with a few minutes left. So
I
I'm not saying I disagree with you. I'm just trying to take you through what I think was going through Dan Campbell's head.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, a paradigm shift. He needs to look at him as a weapon, not just I'll trot him out for a 30, 40-yarder. I mean, if you kick the 50-yarders, the 60-yarder, and he makes them, we're not even talking about this anymore.
Stan, I get what you're saying, and there's a lot of people who pointed out 3 points here, 3 points there, you win the game, right? If you get 3 before the half, if you get 3, what he called in to talk about, the long field goal, if you kick 3 instead of going for it on 4th and 8 and then play, I get it. I guess I just don't feel like I'm going to sit here and complain that they didn't kick enough field goals. How about you finish in the red zone and score a touchdown one other time and all of it's irrelevant? I don't hate the coach who's going to say, I want to score a touchdown. I got all these chances. I've got all these pieces. I should expect my offense to score a touchdown.
And you hate to waste when they actually do, go for a fake punt,
right?
Which was great. I mean, Vaki was there. They convert. And then on 4th and 2, they convert. And then they ultimately they only get to the 48. So it wasn't the 44 like the last caller wanted them to get to.
Right.
Well, and just too many, I think, negative plays, too, on 1st and 2nd down.
Yep.
Right. The third to last drive where – you're getting down in the red zone, you got 2nd and short, holding call, right? Now it's 2nd and 16, next play, trying to force something, interception, right? So got to be a lot better early down, so you're not putting that much pressure on yourself in 3rd and longs and trying to convert.
Part of that phone call, though, and we've had a couple of these phone calls, the shifting of, hey, you got a good defense now. I don't know if you're willing to go that far, but the defense has played well the first 2 weeks of the season, 20 points allowed both games.
Yeah.
Hutchinson, not just pressures, sacks, 4.5 of them for him yesterday, and Branch caught the pick as opposed to dropping the pick.
Yeah.
TJ, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's the thinnest of silver linings. They lost the game. Are you seeing the defensive improvement we all wanted in the offseason?
Yeah, no doubt. I am. I was very encouraged what I saw with the defense yesterday. And Brian Branch making a big play on the first drive, too, right? A little RPO and try to hit the tight end over the top and gets his hand in there, makes a big play. He keeps him to 3 points.
Such a huge play.
It was
he recovered
huge play,
so
right?
well.
Yep. Yeah, and he gets the interception. I know people were complaining yesterday, they didn't have as much pressure as they did against the Rams. Didn't Baker only throw it like 18 times? And
right.
he got sacked 5? Of course, you're not going to have 23 pressures again. And Matthew Stafford threw the ball 56 times, whatever it was. But you felt like Hutch was due, especially after last week. I mean, there were so many times where he just wasn't getting touched. I mean, he was beating the tackle so fast, but the ball was coming out. I know how frustrating that is for defensive linemen to beat their guy and not even get a chance to get a hit at times. But yesterday it felt like he was due, right, just from the pressure that he's been putting on the first 2 games. So he was huge yesterday. And, I think that's what made it sting a little bit worse is that you feel like you wasted not only an individual great performance, but I think you wasted what was overall a really good defensive performance by not getting a win.
he kind of played like a man possessed, right? I mean, a little bit was soloed on a backup tackle, but then they started using the tight end. They started using the running back. It didn't matter. They couldn't stop him.
Yeah, he had a couple. He got thumped by a receiver before, you know, and then the running back came and parked on the outside. And I think he just, you know, said screw it and kind of looped to the inside. And right when Baker stepped up, he was there to clean it up. So if he keeps playing like that, man, yeah, I think you can start changing your philosophy if you're Dan Campbell, that trust in your defense. If they're going to continue to get pressure like that, now you've gone against a couple backup tackles, right? I mean, you got to say that as well, but bottom line is you still got to go out there and make plays. And Hutchinson has been, he's shown that he can be a potential game wrecker.
Yeah. Your thoughts on the initial pass interference by Terrion Arnold?
I thought it was weak.
Three and three games, or yeah, 3 and 2 games.
I thought it was weak. I mean, I understand there was contact, but, you know, from the 5 yard line and in, it looks like he's got his head turned and he's got his arms up and he's trying to make a play on the ball. So, right. I like that there was a learning curve last week. He got called for a couple penalties because he wasn't turning his head, right? He was just kind of playing physical in the receiver, and they're going to call those ones. But if you turn your head, most of the time they're going to let you have an opportunity to make a play on the ball. So I thought it was pretty weak. And then to not call an interference on the first interception where Jameson gets knocked off the route, you know, you're certainly not blaming the refs, but Terrion Arnold, he talked about it last week too. I know I'm a young corner in this league. I like to play physical. You know, they're going to be looking for me. I thought it was a bit ticky-tack.
Yeah.
I thought it was good coverage. I thought he was stride for stride, and I thought he tried to make a play on the ball. Was there contact? Sure. If you want to nitpick and argue that, certainly I think there was, but if you're able to turn your head and make a play on the ball, both guys at that point should have an even opportunity to go make a play.
Well, then be consistent, though, because if you're going to call it wasn't called the same way on the other side.
Yeah.
You know, when we look down, we have the call screener, and there's little notes. This one says, shouldn't have paid Goff. Goff being the focal point is the problem. We can get some of those phone calls in next, TJ. There's a lot for people to weigh in still on. It's 97.1.
Hey, I have been losing weight for 2.5 years now. I'm down almost 70 pounds, and I all got started with Ideal You. I wanted to make a change in my lifestyle, wanted to make a change in my health, I wanted to make a change how I felt about just myself. So I contacted Ideal You. They set me up with a weight loss coach. They gave me all the tools that I needed, and in 10 days, I lost 10 pounds. In 40 days, I was able to lose 50, and I've lost, like I mentioned, 70 pounds overall. If you want to change your life, go to idealyou.us right now and schedule your free consultation. Weight loss coach is going to set you up with the same plan, tell you how to do it, and they're going to stick with you along the way because they want to see you be successful in your goals. If you could lose 20, 30, or even 40 pounds in just 40 days, and the best part is, once you reach your goal, they're going to be right there with you to make sure you keep that weight off. Ideal You has helped thousands of people, and they can help you as well. If you want to weigh less, go to idealyou.us.
Put the Bucks up 20-16. Lions next four possessions. Punt, pick, turnover on downs, turnover on downs. Let's get to the phone. Cedric in Detroit, you're on 97.1. What's up, Cedric?
Hey, not much, man. How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, man. I love the Lions. I bleed Honolulu blue. It's two things that I have a problem with. I have a problem with Dan Campbell making the same mistakes since he got here. And also, Jared Goff. I mean, at the end of the day, he has to make the plays. I don't believe he was worth the money. We shouldn't have gave it to him. We should have waited, let him show us. I know everybody's happy with the NFC Championship. Winning the NFC North. And I'm happy with it also. But last year, all of those passes that he threw, his delivery is so slow that all of our receivers were fighting for the ball we become defenders. Our wide receivers always become defenders. And he's immobile in the pocket. We draft a quarterback for the future.
Oh, there it is.
No, you didn't.
Our first well, Hendon Hooker call.
I know we're frustrated. I know we're all frustrated. Keep going.
You know, I'm confused. I'm just saying that we can't move on because we give him all this money. We can't play a rookie or a second string, a second year quarterback because we gave him all this money. He didn't deserve the money.
So
let him play out the rest of this year.
Cedric, let me ask you this question. Do you think right now a backup quarterback would be a better option than Jared Goff?
Honestly, you want me to be honest with you. I believe that Hendon Hooker would do a way better job. He's a grown man. I believe he'd do a way better job than Jared Goff. I know that they're not going to do it, but I believe he can do it for sure.
It went 9:954.
We were going to make the whole show.
I thought we were going to make the whole show without a ridiculous call.
Goff isn't a grown man now? Is that what we've gone to?
No, but Hooker is. Man.
Yeah. And no, Goff got married in the offseason, and Campbell's in Applebee's commercials.
He's a grown-ass man.
That's right.
I mean, look, everybody's frustrated, right?
But, I know.
And we know this about Jared Goff, too. There's going to be some games where, you know, it's really, really good, and then there's going to be some games where... And I don't think yesterday was really, really bad, but there's going to be some games you're kind of head-scratching a little bit, right? I think and there is still a part of Jared Goff that you'd like to see just the more consistency. You don't want to see the big gap between the highs of the highs and the lows of the lows are really bad. If he's going to have a game where it's not great, you'd still like to see some better decision-making, right?
I don't think we're doing buyers.
I don't think yesterday was all on him, right? No,
we're not doing buyers.
I don't think anybody said that.
Buyer's remorse from that contract. Having said that, I think you can call into a sports radio show and say, we paid him that amount of money and we can't execute end of half, end of game, red zone. That has to be better from a guy who you're anchoring with that kind of contract.
No doubt. No doubt. You're making a lot of money to win game. Your defense keeps teams to 20 points. Your offense should be good enough to win.
Your $50 million quarterback needs to find a way to win.
We're not saying that to him. The play calling could be better.
Agreed.
I'm sure some of the details in the routes and at times, you know, the protection could be better.
Well,
so
that was our point. You shouldn't have him thrown 55 times. Ultimately, I think the play calling put him in a bad position.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about Tampa. Because even last year, going back and looking through all the stats, I mean, he only threw the ball 43 or more times, four times in 20 games last year. One was against Baltimore where it was
trailing,
a blowout. But two of the four were against Tampa Bay. And then yesterday you come out and it's 55.
You're sitting there thinking
like, I think you're kind of playing. And look, you won the games last year, right? So you did something right. But I wonder if part of it's just you're playing into what Tampa Bay wants you to do, right? They want you to throw the ball, right? Well, they want to get opportunities to get takeaways.
It's Vita Vea, it's Levante David.
Ragnow, you got Penei Sewell. You know, that would be my argument. Let's not go into the game thinking, oh, they got a good run defense. We're just going to start passing. Let's go in saying, you know what? We're pretty damn good at what we do too. Why don't we stick with our identity until they show they can stop it, right? So I think sometimes just the thought process and the mental attitude kind of going into games can kind of change what you do. But I think if you're Ben Johnson, Dan Campbell, you say, you know what? We got to get back to who we really are.
Yeah.
We're not a team that wants to throw the ball 55 times.
No, run the damn ball behind an offensive line that in the run game should be dominant and needs to play better, needs to be more consistent. And if they are going to throw the ball, and TJ, you and I have been in situations where we've thrown the ball 50, 55 times a game. It sucks. And it's a hard job to do. But if you're going to be a part of this offensive line that we thought going into the season was going to be the best offensive line in the NFL, then you should be able to hold up against a defensive line that doesn't have Kancey and doesn't have Vea.
No doubt.
TJ, can you see the call screener? You want dealers?
No.
Okay, you
can. I'm glad I can't. No, I'm good.
I think we can get one more in before Doug and Scott come in. John, dealer's choice. Do you have one you want to get in?
Let's go with line four.
Line four, Calvin in Detroit. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
You know, I just, when I called in, the first thing I said was, as soon as Jared Goff signed his contract and he didn't play good, everybody's going to start saying, oh, they shouldn't have paid him. It was a whole team effort. Nobody played good. The coaches didn't make good decisions. The players didn't play good. It's one loss. What is everybody in a panic about? One loss don't make that man a bad quarterback. Yeah, he may be inconsistent. Give a man a chance. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, one loss doesn't make him a bad quarterback.
It does not.
And look, we saw what last year, right? You started 1-1. I mean, there's a lot of football left.
Division.
I think if all of us, you know, if you were to ask all of us, do we believe that Ben Johnson, Dan Campbell, Jared Goff, this offense is going to turn it around? I think all of us would say yes, oh, yeah. right? Because we've seen it.
Well, I don't know how you felt or what you guys were talking about in the booth with 5 minutes left when he got the ball back. I thought this is you're going to go down and score.
Yep.
Yeah, and it felt like the momentum started coming back when you got the touchdown at the end of the third quarter, right? And then Baker kind of goes down and escapes with his legs a little bit and punches it back, and it's like, okay. But, it felt like the momentum shifted a little bit, yeah. But, I mean, you give this team a couple drives to go down and get a game-winning touchdown, right? I don't think there's going to be very many games where they're not able to come through. Yesterday was one of those games, but this, I think, and look, there's a long season left. Nobody's sitting here saying this team's going to stink. We all still think they're going to be a good team.
Yep.
But this is going to be a situation where, much like last year, probably in week 15, 16, 17, you're looking back saying, oh, damn, if we could have got that Tampa game, right? Maybe our seeding would have been this, right? So I think that's where we're going to look back on it and probably be even more disappointed.